Hey, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 24th of August, 2021. And just as the show started, I'm having an asthma attack. Hold on 1 second while I catch my breath. Please, just listen to the music for a sec, okay? I'm back. What can I tell you? All right, it's not an asthma attack. It's just an allergy asthma attack. What can I tell you? I'm fine. All right. Anyway, let me turn off the music here and tell you what we're going to do today. We have a wonderful show planned for you today here on Education Talk Radio. We've got Ryan Radzuski, who is one of the co-authors of When You Wonder, You're Learning. It's about Mr. Rogers' enduring lessons for raising creative, curious, caring kids. Everybody loves Mr. Rogers, right? And we have a big Mr. Rogers fan, along with Ryan, who, again, is one of the co-authors, along with Greg Bear of the book. We have the one and only Rob Furman, my good buddy, who's principal of South Park Elementary Center, elementary school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They're both out of Pittsburgh. I'm going to bring them on right now. I want you to know that we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're going to archive the show at and check out what we do at ace-ed.org. Hi, Rob. How you doing? I'm dying here. I'm choking here. How are you?
Hey, yeah, man. Long time no talk. It's good to hear
from
you. Yeah, we're doing okay here in the burg. I hope you're doing okay. Take a breath, right?
No, I'm fine. It's just that just as the show started, I decided to have a coughing fit.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
I know there's a lot of stress around Pittsburgh right now because, you know, every day another school district is going back to school. And, you know, that makes me need to catch my breath, too.
Exactly. I thought it was the Steelers you were worried about. So we'll just do the stress.
Oh, yeah. That's more than just needing to catch your breath. That's a panic attack.
Yeah, and actually, we told Ryan this was a show for educators. But actually, Ryan, it's a self-help thing to break you guys of loving the Steelers. I know deep down
you want to
love the Patriots like I do here in Maine. Okay, and we're going to try to help you get through that. Is that okay?
Yeah, this is one of those this is your life sort of prank.
Yeah, it's a self-help. Yeah, we're going to break into your life, show people, have people come around you, talk to you, help you get through this ordeal, okay? You can put away the yellow towel. Yeah, I know. It's that good. Ryan, I'm Larry. Welcome to the show.
Larry, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here, and I'm really excited to talk to you.
It's going to be great, and we got a lot of listeners here going to learn about all the wonderful things that you and Greg do. I looked at the pictures on the website. The website, by the way, is actually the name of the book. It's called, When You Wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, whenyouwonder.org. And the book is really excellent. We're going to talk about that. It had the pictures of the two of you, and, of course, Greg can't be here. I looked at the pictures. I want you to know I'm very pleased you're the better looking of the two.
I was just going to say, I am the shorter yet better looking one. Shorter
much
and
better.
Younger yet better looking.
Yes, I mean, there was actually no comparison. Please play this for him, will you? I don't even know him, but he can learn to hate me right off the bat. Okay? No, it's no problem. Before we get going with the book, I just want to swing back over to Rob. Rob, we're in the throes of bringing kids back to school. You're principal of, and this is no joke, South Park Elementary, okay,
yeah.
In Pittsburgh, okay? And he, actually, your son is, I still remember this, Rob, your son is named Kyle. I'm sorry. Right?
Yes, he
little
is.
Kyle. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah,
Kyle's father, that's true.
I know. So you run South Park. All right, what's going on with bringing the kids back from school? It must be stressful. Just talk about that. And maybe we can learn some lessons from Mr. Rogers about it.
Yeah, it's definitely a stressful moment. The whole COVID situation is certainly making things tricky, as it has for the past year and a half.
Yep.
There is certainly a bit of a comfort in knowing that there are people that are vaccinated now. So there are some rules that are changing due to that vaccination.
And also the FDA approval yesterday really will help, I hope.
Right. My personal frustration with that would be, that's all and good, but I still have 720 unvaccinated youngsters coming into my building tomorrow. So even though, you know, middle schools and high school have a little bit of a benefit, I think there's probably not an elementary principal out there right now that's a little
good
nervous
point.
Still.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean,
good
we still have a whole lot of unvaccinated kids coming to us. And so, you know, we're, as we always would, health and safety comes first. It's just one of those moments that we're trying to make the best academic decisions we can while still keeping these kids as safe as we can.
And I hope that at South Park you're not going through the masked, unmasked challenges. You know, some people with the mask, some people without the mask. What's going on with that? What's the rules? I don't know the rules.
There are districts all around right now going through those decisions and debates and whatnot. We're not surprised when we see these enormous electronic billboards purchased by parents pleading with districts to vote one way or the other. There are districts that are flip-flopping back and forth. We've got parent lawsuits against school board members because of decisions. And so, I mean, we definitely have a lot going on right now in terms of everybody's viewpoint. And the worst part about this is that there is no correct decision, because no matter what a school board decides, half the community is going to be upset with it. So it's a very difficult situation to be in terms of trying to make a decision in terms of what's right. But I'm pretty sure Mr. Rogers would say, as long as we're making whatever decisions we're making, we have the kids in the foremost front of our minds, then we really can't go wrong. So I think every educator out there is thinking that way. At least I would hope that, you know, whatever decision we're making for the best interest of the kids, and I think Mr. Rogers would be proud of that.
Right, I think he would be as well, okay? And I'll give you what Davy Crockett used to say when I was a kid, okay, long before you two were born, okay? First you decide what you know is right, and then you go ahead and do it. Okay, so there's Davy Crockett and Fess Parker.
That's right.
And Mr. Rogers doing all the stuff. Ryan, what got you on this Mr. Rogers thing? Tell us about the book, et cetera, and tell us how you met Rob, Ryan Rudzewski, one of the authors.
Thank you. Yeah, so Greg and I have been sort of, you know, we are children of Western Pennsylvania. You know, we were born here. We moved away for a while. We found our way back to the Pittsburgh area. Rogers always felt like he was our actual neighbor, and in many cases he was. The places he took us on the neighborhood, you know, those were the factories that our families went to. Those were the libraries that we went to as kids. So Rogers really has always been an inspiration, but it's been over the past few years that we've come to see him as more than that. In a lot of ways, he's instructive. There are things we can learn from him. There are things we can learn from the neighborhood that can benefit kids, that can benefit schools, that can benefit the way we learn, and really can benefit us, the adults, the people who are charged with caring for children like Rogers did.
Absolutely. But what, you know, all that said, I do certainly understand your Pittsburgh roots. Okay. By the way, I'm from Philly, the other end of the state.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I am. So, we're Pennsylvanians together. Okay. Here. All right. So, when you took, I want to ask is, what is your background that made you decide? I want you to talk about your writing for a second. Okay, is what I'm going for here. Okay, your experience as a writer, you're growing up in Pittsburgh with Fred Rogers, so to speak. Okay, talk about how those things came together, you and Greg, okay, and writing the book.
Absolutely. So I have been a writer for the Grable Foundation here in Pittsburgh for several years. Greg is the executive director. And one of our sort of ongoing projects has been looking into the learning sciences, trying to figure out what are the conditions under which children and adults to learn best, and then trying to translate that in a way that's accessible and useful to folks who aren't scientists themselves. That's sort of my job as a writer. And what we realized when we started digging into the learning sciences, you know, reading the latest research papers, talking to some of the cutting-edge scientists at Carnegie Mellon University and elsewhere, we realized what they were saying about how children learn, it sounded almost like a script from the neighborhood. They weren't talking about charts and graphs and things that can be measured. They're talking about, you know, how do we make sure kids feel safe? How do we make sure kids feel loved and capable of loving? All these things that Rogers did so well right here in our own backyard.
Right. And, you know, it's so simple when you break it down to that. But to be able to get the points across so well, and you're not only concerned with your book, and I want to go with the subtitle here, you're not only concerned about loving, you're concerned about building curiosity building creativity within kids, all right? And talk about that side of what it's all about.
Yeah, so, you know, you said at the beginning, look, everybody loves Mr. Rogers.
Everybody loves Mr. Rogers. He's like the Mother Teresa of the guys. He's unbelievable. Right.
Sure, we have all this new media. You know, we have the movie starring Tom Hanks. We have a biography that came out. You know, Mr. Rogers is everywhere these days. In fact, next week marks the 20th anniversary of the final episode. It aired in 2001. And I would argue that Rogers, you know, he's just as well known today as he was back then.
Yeah.
Now, part of that is because we remember him as a beacon of kindness. You know, he was a nice person in the world that seems, especially these days, less and less nice. But the premise of our book is that, yes, Rogers was all those things. He was a beacon of kindness. He was an extraordinary television host. He was all of those things, but he was also more. He was more than, you know, a nice guy in the sweater that we remember him for. In fact, he had a method to everything he did. He wanted to teach children how to be curious, how to be creative, how to communicate well. And he had a method for doing that that can still be instructed to us today. You know, the premise of the book is really that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood can be more than a pleasant memory in the minds of us adults. You know, it's also a blueprint. It's a resource that if we study it, it'll point the way forward for kids and their learning. So our book is really about why Fred did what he did and how Fred did it and what it looks like when teachers and educators today use that blueprint to build learning spaces where every kid can thrive.
It's amazing. And you're almost saying it's Mr. Rogers' neighborhood becomes Mr. Rogers' laboratory, which I'm saying in a complimentary point of view.
Oh, I really like that. I haven't heard it put that way. I like that a lot.
Oh, well, thank you. It came from what you were telling me. And, you know, you had written to me, okay, and in the book you call it Fred a learning scientist. And I think that's very important. And I just go into this for a second. I think people realize this, but I want to make it clear. The things he did on TV were out of kindness and concern. But they weren't just put out there just on a spur-of-the-moment thing as he thought of them. Okay? He researched it. He understood the emotional and the psychological, and if I may, the scientific side of the learning of what he was trying to get across before it went out there. Comment on that.
Absolutely. So, Fred, you know, one thing that's important to understand about him is that he hated television. He hated television, especially when he first encountered it. The first thing he ever saw, he said, was people throwing pies in each other's faces. And it upset him to see people demeaning one another like that. But even, you know, despite that initial dislike, he saw its potential. And Fred decided that he wanted to use television to minister to kids. So this is how it all started. And when he enrolled at what became the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, his teachers said, well, if you want to use TV to minister to kids, you better go study child development too. And so he walked just down the street to a place called it was called the Arsenal Family and Children's Center. And it was at that time that some of the best pediatricians, some of the top psychiatrists, some of the top child development experts on the planet, they were all working at the same time. They were all working in Pittsburgh. So these were folks like Benjamin Spock, who wrote Baby and Child Care in 1959. That's still a bestseller today. Sold more
it is.
Books
and then he went
than anything
to a great,
else.
He went on to a great career on Star Trek.
Oh,
That was a joke.
He was also an Olympic rower. So Rogers is working with folks like Benjamin Spock, with Eric Erickson, and with a woman named Margaret McFarland, who was his lifelong mentor and friend. Studying with these folks put Fred at the cutting edge of child development science. And he took what he learned from these folks and he blended it with stories and songs and puppets, building eventually what became Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So it's an overlooked part of his legacy now, but every aspect of the neighborhood, from Fred's words to his, you know, his wardrobe to the songs he sang, all of it was grounded in science. That's why today we'd call him he was a learning scientist. And in lots of ways, he was a learning scientist who was decades ahead of his time. Science is still catching up, still mirroring what he was doing a half century ago in Pittsburgh.
And, you know, it's interesting, and you guys will appreciate this. From the other end of the state, I graduated from I'm a Westchester State graduate. Went down Westchester University, okay? And I remind everybody of this, okay? My class ring and my degree gave me a Bachelor of Science in Education, okay? And too often we forget that education is a science. It may also be an art as well, but it is
sure.
a science. There are things we know about learning, okay? And the more we apply science and data to what we are talking about, then take the art, which is what Fred Rogers kind of figured out. The more we do that, the better it works. It's that simple. This learning science idea is really, really amazing. But do you see, and Ryan, do you see any use in the word, the way we think of it as science and what he was doing? Because I don't see him doing science as we think of it, okay, in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But then again, I didn't watch every episode. Maybe you did. Talk about science.
Well, you know,
science the way you want to use it, okay, in some examples, okay, of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Sure.
But I don't know if you're driving towards science or what we think of as science. You know what I mean? Neuroscience.
Absolutely.
Or science. You know what I mean? Kaboom, with your chemistry
right. I mean,
set.
You said
yeah.
earlier, you said
yeah.
earlier that it's a science and an art.
It is.
And Rogers, he was both of those things. He was a brilliant scientist and scholar himself, but he was also an incredible artist. And he blended those two things so seamlessly that you're right. When you sit down to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you don't see it right away. It's built into the program so well that it's almost seamless. So, but take almost any scene. You know, if you're familiar with the way he walks through the front door, there is sort of a fast jazz piano that slows down as Rogers comes in the door. And he takes off his suit and he puts on a sweater and he changes his shoes and there's a yellow stoplight blinking. And he sits down and he looks directly into the camera and helps kids slow down. Everything about this neighborhood was designed to help them feel relaxed,
mm-hmm.
safe, cared for, all these mm-hmm. basic things that we know have to be in place in order for kids to learn well. And when you say, I know what you're sort of asking, because when you look at the program, you don't see science, but what you do see is a method. There's always a method behind everything he's doing. So just take the title
yeah.
of our book,
yeah.
When You Wonder You're Learning. That comes from a song of Fred's called Did You Know, which is really about, you know, the importance of curiosity as it relates to getting smarter. That phrase, when you wonder you're learning, can actually be taken literally. Because even though Fred wrote it in 1979, there was some research that came out in 2014, years after Fred's death, that said when a person is curious, it puts the brain in a state that allows it to return any kind of information. It's like a vortex that sucks in what you're motivated to learn, but also everything around it. You can use those words literally. When you're curious, your brain starts to take in information. When you wonder, you're learning. Mr. Rogers was right. And, you know, we could spend this whole interview talking about ways in which science is catching up to what Fred was doing in the neighborhood. When you realize his methods, it's absolutely amazing to sit down and watch this program and watch him at work. He really was – he was a genius.
He was – thank you. He was a genius, which – let me ask, and you guys are in Pittsburgh, all right? And there's schools, great teacher education schools in Pittsburgh and around Pittsburgh
yeah.
and Western PA – I'm wondering if any colleges that you know of have taken what Mr. Rogers gave us and made that into a course too, so that teachers could understand what the value of what he was doing visually and orally.
Right. Ryan, do you mind if I take that one for a moment?
Yeah, go
for
ahead.
It.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because
Rob.
I know at Duquesne University where I do some adjunct teaching, there are definitely parallels. But I think, Larry, you hit the nail on the head in terms of why this book needs to be out there, and it really needs to be out there now. And I'm not one of the authors, so I have no skin in the game other than I want teachers to improve always. That's sort of the nature of our world.
Yep.
But, you know, in my opinion, this textbook is – or this book could be considered, in a way, a textbook, a roadmap, a way to learn how this stuff needs to happen, because it's out there in bits and pieces. But one, let's give credit where credit's due to the man that raised a lot of us through that big old glass tube in front of our face,
yeah.
and let's take the reality that the things that he was teaching worked. It was based in science, even though no child would have ever guessed that we were being taught through these methods. And in the end, really, you know, that's what good teaching can do. Let's have the kids learn something without even realizing that it's work. You know,
if there's ever
a time in my experiences in education that we need Mr. Rogers, it's now. And you know, he can't be with us physically, but through this book we can still hear his words and we can still watch his actions. And I think this book could not be coming at a better time for educators and for parents. I mean, let's face it, we're dealing with a whole lot of stuff right now. And
yes,
I personally would love to be able to hear Mr. Rogers' calm voice and the tinkling of the piano and you know, watching the characters keep me in a nice, happy place right now. So there are colleges out there that have bits and pieces of this in theory. I'm saying as a teacher, if, you know, the teachers that are listening
this theoretically, is the textbook. Theoretically, you could run an education course called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and that would be as valuable in three credits as every other course is. Okay, without question.
And Larry,
if it were, yes, go ahead, Ray.
I was just going to say the Fred Rogers Center based in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, is actually doing that. It's called the Educator's Neighborhood. They bring a cohort of teachers through every year, and they study individual episodes,
trying to figure out
what is it that Rogers is doing here, and how can we apply this in our own ways, in our own context, in our classrooms, and elsewhere. And it's sort of a bottomless well from which to draw. I mean, we've been researching and writing this book for more than 3 years now, and daily I'm discovering new things, what he was doing. There's just so much we can learn from him. And, you know, there are more than 900 episodes laying around of the neighborhood. And even today, the Fred Rogers Productions, his company, is putting out new content. It's amazing how much is really out there for us to look to and learn from.
And Mrs. Rogers, Jean, wrote a foreword for your book. I know that. Did you ever meet Fred Rogers, Ryan?
Personally, I did not. Greg did. And Rob, I'm not sure. Did you ever meet Fred?
Rob?
I did not have a personal meeting with him, but oddly enough, my college graduation from West Virginia University, when I first was able to step foot out and become a teacher, Fred Rogers was our commencement speaker.
Oh, wow.
And it was probably one of the most inspirational speeches I've ever heard. It was truly, truly wonderful. So, no, I never got to meet him directly, but I did get to hear him speak live. And he's as impressive of a man at a distance as I'm sure he is face-to-face as he was through that television.
Yeah, a friend of mine was the communications director, I think, at Rollins College down in Winter Park, Florida. I think I've got right. Yeah, and one day, many, many years ago, Fred Rogers was going to be a speaker there. So my buddy, whose name is also Larry Humes, okay, was able to accompany him all day, you know, meeting him as the communications and PR director for the college.
Oh, cool.
And he told me, he said he had never spent, and he's my age, okay, he had never spent, okay, a better day in his life. He said Fred Rogers was just the nicest, most sincere guy you could ever imagine, okay? And he didn't just talk, he listened, you know? And it just, he just said it was like the most amazing day to be with this guy who was literally an icon, okay? It's unbelievable. You know, and Rob, let's put this into action for a second. Again, your principal. By the way, I meant to ask you wrote South Park Elementary Center as your school, as opposed to South Park Elementary School. What's Elementary Center mean?
When this building was created, we took three different schools, three separate schools, and turned and brought them all here. So they coined it as a center for the multiple school.
Yeah. Nice. So if you could, and you've read the book quite obviously, and you've gotten to know Ryan and Greg, okay, and you are very concerned with this, okay, I know that. Take lessons from the book, just off the top of your head, and I'm sorry to catch you maybe a little off guard. How would you ask your teachers to apply some of this? And maybe the first thing is just to read the book. But what would be the expectations? What would be the next step as literally a thought leader and a terrific school leader that you are?
Right. The when you have any piece of literature, and this one obviously is one that I hold near and dear to my heart.
You do.
Because it's a Pittsburgh icon, because it's Fred Rogers,
yeah.
Because I believe in him. You know, but generally speaking, my first comment to any teacher whenever they're about to read the book, any book, is what speaks to you. Because what speaks to me is not going to be the same as what speaks to you. If you're going to read this and you're going to draw something from it that's going to be meaningful to you, and you're not going to be hard pressed to find anything in this book that isn't going to speak to you.
Yeah.
However, with that being said, who am I to say, do this, do that? You know, who am I to say, look, aim for this? I would much rather say to the groups and those people that know me out there that, you know, if you get this, you're going to find bits and pieces that will speak to you. You're going to find bits and pieces that are going to be, they're going to touch your heart. And in the end, actions speak louder than words. So that book is a beautiful piece of work, but we need the teachers and the parents to take that information out of the book and turn them into actions. The book is not going to help the kids unless we have the medium of the parents and the teachers reading the book, finding what parts speak to them, and putting those pieces into action. And to me, you know, Fred Rogers, like I said, you know, I was raised with Fred Rogers on the television, there were certainly moments of him speaking to me, and I feel like I'm a better educator, better father because of that. There's a generation of parents and adults out there that didn't have that benefit. So now, you know, there is this piece of literature out there that has harnessed his words and his thoughts and his theories. And I just really hope that people take a moment to take the advantage of having this new piece of information out there to help them become better parents and teachers. As educators, we know we want to improve. That's our whole goal in life, is to get better in order to serve kids. Here's a way to do it, and it's a good read. So it's not even like it's a painful read or anything like that.
Sure.
We certainly had our fair share of textbooks that nobody wants to. Oh God,
not
please not that. You know.
Yeah, it's not the Mill on the Floss, everybody. It's not the Mill on
exactly.
the Floss.
Exactly,
it's really a good book. Okay, you know. By the way, the book again, When You Wonder, WONDR, When You Wonder, You're Learning. Okay, by Ryan Rudzewski and the Greg Bear. You know, you said something that struck me a few minutes ago. You said everybody could find something in the book that will hit them, all right? And I wrote this down as you said that, because that speaks to the man's humanity, okay? When you said everybody, literally it's everybody, okay? He wasn't just for white guys or black guys. He was for everybody, you know? And his humanity. Ryan, talk about this, because what I want to say about this, and just, you heard me say at the beginning of the show, we're the consortium for American Consortium for Equity in Education. We publish a magazine about that. We do all these podcasts about that. Okay, and that's a key word these days. All right, and this guy Fred Rogers was so ahead of the game, but he was doing it rather than just talking about it or doing it and not realizing, well, it's over there, there's nothing I can do about it. He was actually doing it. This guy was a humanist, okay? So put Fred Rogers, if you can, Ryan, if you can do this, I'll give you a PhD from the University of Larry, okay? But please, you know, talk about the fine PhD, by the way, okay? 140-character thesis, you got the PhD, all right? The whole thing, all right? To put it, the humanity leads to the equity. There you go. There's the title of the thesis. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ryan Rudzewski.
All right, well,
okay.
I'm going to start my thesis with a, you know, Rob asked this question, what speaks to you? What speaks to you? Emphasis on the you. And it reminded me of this quote we have in the book. This is Dr. Valerie Kinlock, who already has her PhD. She's the dean of the University of Pittsburgh School of Education. And we asked her...
Oh, the University of Larry is a much better school. Your PhD is worth a lot more than that. Yeah.
Well, anyway, right. Dr. Kinlock, you know, we asked her a similar question. And she gave us this answer that I'm just going to read a short quote because I can't improve on this. I don't know if I'm going to get credit for the thesis. But she said, you know, kids walk into classrooms and learning spaces excited. They want to learn, they want to make, They want to redesign worlds. And when we adults don't make space for that, we squash all that creativity. We tell kids, you can't do those things that you're dreaming about. Now fit this mold and meet my standards. How do we think about possibilities instead? How do we think about the ways that people dream and imagine better futures? Why don't we start by asking, what do you dream about that you never talk about? What would you do if only you could? Now, I absolutely love that quote from Dr. Kinloch because that is what the neighborhood did. Fred, like you said, was a humanist. He recognized the potential of every child, and he started with the dreams of children rather than the needs of adults. The whole message of his show was this: I like you exactly as you are right now. That means I accept you with all of your strengths, and I accept you with all of your flaws, and I accept you with all of your potential. I accept you exactly as you are. And I think if we can show every kid that, and if we can act on that belief for every kid in our care, and if we can ensure that every kid gets exactly what he or she needs to grow in ways that are authentic to themselves, in ways that are authentic to their dreams, then that's equity. That's justice. That's what we're all put here to do for the kids in our care. And I think that's what Fred trusted us to do. And I think that, if we can use his blueprints in the ways that are authentic to ourselves and in ways that feel right for our communities, then we're doing a version of what Fred did.
Yeah, we are. We are. It's a great – the man has an incredible legacy, and it continues, okay, on a regular basis. Everybody, the book is called, okay, When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring, and I'm going to put one other word in there, calm kids, okay? He was a picture of calmness.
Yep.
You know, that's not, the calm isn't in there, but it's true. You know, and that's what we need is calmness these days in an age of a pandemic and in the age of all this aggravation, everybody screaming and yelling at each other. He's like a shining lighthouse out there. It's unbelievable. Ryan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Larry. I really appreciate it. And also, I know you're going to thank him too, but I want to say thanks to Rob because, you know, we mentioned earlier there are educators everywhere doing a version of what Rogers did, and that's Rob through and through. And so I'm wishing you, Rob, the best for this coming school year.
Ryan. Thanks, buddy. Right. And, Larry, it is true. You know, Fred Rogers definitely had a passion and a love for everybody. So, you should feel good about that, Larry, because even though you're a Patriots fan, he still liked you. You know,
I'm not so sure because I was also an Eagle. I grew up with the Eagles, then we moved to New England.
Okay? Oh man, double whammy!
God bless him, but even Fred Rogers would go, no, not that guy.
Well, hey, thanks for having us on, Larry.
It was my pleasure. Rob, have a great school year and the beginning of the school year. Hope it goes smooth. And Ryan, thank you so much for you and Greg for putting the book together and getting these words out there. We'll do all we can from this end, okay?
Thank you,
Larry. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye. Okay. Everybody, that's Ryan Radzewski. Again, When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring Kids. Who better? And my good buddy and thought leader in the education field, Dr. Rob Furman, principal he is of South Park Elementary Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Great guy, great author. You can find him on the web as well, Rob Furman. All right, he's principal over there. Thank you all for listening. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio.